The grace of our great and glorious God is yours in Jesus. Amen. Every so often, sometimes maybe just once or twice in a person's life, a person has an opportunity to be a part of something big. Something that kind of raises our sights above the mundane of everyday life. Something that connects us to a higher cause. Something that we can't do by ourselves, but with other people, we can accomplish a greater goal that ultimately serves future generations. Today, that's what we celebrate. Today we dedicate to the glory of God a beautiful building expansion. We're not here to take credit for it, but rather to give God the glory for what He's done for us and in us to allow us to build a building for future generations. In His infinite love and mercy, He's allowed us to be a part of something big. In fact, let's let that be our theme today. This is big. Today, as we look at God's Word, we're going to draw some parallels between what we're experiencing today and what King David experienced as he looked forward to the dedication of the temple in Jerusalem. As we turn to the pages of 1 Chronicles chapter 29, we'll see that the Holy Spirit records for us a prayer that David offered, a prayer that still has meaning for our lives today. David, in effect, prayed, "We have a big God who creates big hearts, which offer big prayers." Now, for us to really appreciate Paul's prayer, we need to understand a little bit about what took place leading up to this prayer. You maybe remember that David here always wanted to build a temple for God, a house for the Lord. He said, "It's not right that I'm living in a palace and God, the tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant, is in this tent. So I'm going to build a house for Him, and I'm going to lay out the plans, and it's going to be of stone and cedar and silver and gold." And then God came to David and said, "Not so fast, David. You're not going to be the one to build it. You got too much blood on your hands. You're a warrior. I'm going to have your son build it instead." Well, rather than getting all pouty about it, rather than tossing away the plans that he'd drawn, David does something else. David, you might say, kicks off a capital stewardship campaign. He starts raising funds for the temple. And the first person he goes to is himself. He comes before the assembly of Israel, and he says, "In my devotion to the temple of my God, I now give my personal treasures of gold and silver for the temple of my God." And then he records for them exactly how much he's going to give. 3,000 talents of gold, 7,000 talents of silver. That's about 110 tons of gold. That's about $4 billion that he gives for this temple. And then he goes to his leaders and he invites them, he challenges them a bit when he says, "Now who's willing to consecrate himself today to the Lord?" In other words, who's with me? Who's going to join me in making these sacrificial gifts to help build the Lord's temple? Scripture records the answer. Then the leaders of the families, the officers of the tribes of Israel, the commanders of the hundreds, and the officials in charge of the king's work gave willingly. In fact, they ended up together giving far more than David gave. And it's really their generosity, this willing gift, that has a tremendous impact on all the people of Israel who see this. Scripture records their response. The people rejoiced at the willing response of their leaders, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. David the king also rejoiced greatly. My friends, you see, that's the backdrop for David's prayer. It's his desire to build this temple, and the fact that his leaders all jumped in and said, yes, let's do this, that leads him to begin with a song of praise to God who started it all. You might say, David says, we have a big God. He puts it this way. Praise be to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Isn't that the truth? I mean, as David looked forward to the dedication of the temple, as we look forward to the dedication of our building, it all starts with God. God is the owner of everything. He is the master of the universe. It's all his. You realize what that means? It means when we dedicate our new building, we are basically publicly saying, this building is not ours. It's God's. God's just letting us use it. We're going to dedicate this building the same way we designed it and built it, namely, all to God's glory. In fact, isn't that fact applicable to everything a church designs? I mean, when Mount Olive first decided it needed a worship space, we could have built a pole barn. That we could sit in a pole barn and worship. We'd probably have to heat it in Wisconsin. When we decided to have a school here, we could have used, I don't know, double-wide mobile trailers. We could have had people play basketball on dirt floors. But we didn't do that. We built a beautiful sanctuary. We built fully equipped classrooms. We built a beautiful gymnasium. Why? Because we believe that what we build says something about our God. If we believe God is great and glorious, then it's not wrong to build beautiful buildings to his glory. Remember that. When you walk into that gym and you go, wow, this is really big. Yes, it is. Just like our God. Because in the end, it's not our gym, it's his. To God be the glory. Now, in David's dedication prayer, he starts by glorifying that big God, the God of the universe, the God of free and faithful grace. And then he goes on to talk about the impact that that God of grace has had on the hearts of himself and his people. You might say that David rejoices that we have a big God who creates big hearts. See, after witnessing this outpouring of financial gifts, David says what? Who am I? And who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? David asks a good question. I mean, David knows what human hearts are like by nature. By nature, human hearts are self-centered. We think in terms of, this is mine. I earned this. These are my possessions. I'm not going to just give them away. What is it that leads people to give away their possessions? I mean, what really blew the minds of the people is that their leaders willingly gave all these gifts to God. I mean, this money wasn't raised by a tax. It was raised by free will offerings. The question is, what would do that? What would create that kind of overwhelming generosity? What would move and open up human hearts to give like that? There's only one answer. It's the grace of God. When human beings like you and me realize that all we have earned from a just and holy God is hell, and God in mercy, for the sake of his Son, has given us heaven, when we realize that everything we have in life is a gift from his gracious hand, that's what changes hearts. That's what leads us to do what these leaders did, namely to bring our offerings to God more than we would have ever imagined. These people gave because their hearts were touched by God's grace. If you think about it, isn't that exactly what Mount Olive has witnessed as well? I mean, you think about it. Over $3 million pledged by God's people. Already over $1.8 million given to the Lord. Without a tax, without anybody forced, these are just free will offerings. Who gets the credit for that? I mean, do we get the credit? Do our leaders get the credit? Does the Capital Stewardship Company get the credit? No. God alone gets the credit. It's like the Apostle Paul once wrote, "It is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose." I don't know about you, but as I think about all the people in the family of Mount Olive whose hearts have been touched by God's grace and who have brought forward their thank offerings to God, I can't help but join King David, who said, "Now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you." As you look at King David's dedication prayer, you see a man who's thankful, who gives glory to God, who then thanks God for what it's done for his people, and then he looks to the future, and he offers a request of his God, a request that still is very applicable for us today. You might say, we pray that because we have a big God who creates big hearts, we now offer big prayers. That's what King David did, wasn't it? When he saw what these people had given, what does he pray? "O Lord, God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, keep this desire in the hearts of your people forever, and keep their hearts loyal to you." You can see why David prayed what he prayed, can't you? I mean, they had just finished this major offering. They were about to dedicate a beautiful building. The question that weighed on David's heart was, will they remain committed? Will they continue to be loyal to the God who gave them everything? Or once the building's up, will they kind of lose interest, start to be distracted by all the other things in life, and ultimately stop worshiping that true God? It's a very real possibility, a real danger, which is why their spiritual shepherd, King David, offers the prayer that he does. Lord, keep our hearts loyal to you. That prayer is just as appropriate today as it was 3,000 years ago. And it's still a big prayer. I mean, think about it. How easy it would be for us to now get distracted and lose sight of our mission to bring the saving gospel to lost and hurting souls, both young and old alike. How easy it would be for us to let Satan distract us and divide our hearts and get us chasing things that really have no eternal value. When we think about the fact that the most beautiful building in the world is good for nothing if we get disconnected from God. That's why we need to pray, Lord, keep our hearts loyal to you. Lord, you are a great and a glorious God. You've shown us mercy. You've worked in our hearts a desire to support and to expand the work that you've given us to do. We ask you to bless the gospel ministry that we carry out in this place. And Lord of our fathers, keep us faithful. Keep us faithful to you, faithful to your word for this generation and generations to come. Not to our glory, but to yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing, Brothers, Sisters, Let Us Gladly.